Thank you, girls. That was a real blessing. Did a good job. What a great message in that song. Well, I hate this to be the last service for me here. I guess I could just stay. Yeah, might as well. I don't know if Connie'd be up. I've been home so long, she'd probably be happy for me to stay a little longer. I was expecting a message to say, don't you have any other place that you need to go or something? I don't know. Well, I really look forward to this time to see my dear friend. Pastor and I speak a lot on the phone, but there's nothing like coming and seeing him and his dear wife, Jo, and the kids and grandkids and great-grandkids and real soon, I guess, in the next few years. I know there's none now, but there will be. Preacher, I love you, and I thank God for our friendship. And I look forward to heaven one day have no idea what it's going to be like, but it's going to be exciting. It's going to be great. Well, let's read a few verses of scriptures. I want to share with you some exciting things that have taken place. But before that, I want to read a few verses of scriptures. Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. The book of Revelation, chapter 20. And begin reading at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Father, these words that we just read are, I can't find the words to expound upon it except let the words speak for themselves. It will be a terrible time when the lost man will stand before you and will have nothing to say and will be cast into hell in the lake of fire for all eternity. So God, help us, burden our hearts. Help us to love you and to fear you. Give us a burden for the lost to reach them before it's eternally too late. Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We find in the scriptures that one day Jesus, God, will wipe away all of our tears. And I couldn't imagine at the great white throne judgment, you and I seeing a loved one, a child, a mother, a father, a friend, a grandchild, a brother, a sister. And I think it will be a very, very sad time when we see that. I don't know how I couldn't imagine myself trying to live through eternity knowing that my child or grandchild was in hell. I can't imagine that. I can't comprehend that. How I would be happy in heaven knowing that they are in hell. Or a loved one or a neighbor or somebody that I have been dealing with for a long time, and yet they rejected and they didn't trust Christ as their Savior. But I know that God will wipe away all tears, and I don't know if He will wipe away that memory. I don't know that. The Bible is not clear on that. But I can't imagine us living all eternity with that weight upon our mind and our shoulders of that. So I don't know how God will take care of that, but I believe that He will. But that should not give us an excuse not to have a burden and a desire to reach our loved ones, at least pray for them, and earnestly trying to win them to Christ. And there are a number of things that we can do. Sometimes it just takes a little change in our own lives. Maybe they just need to see some humility in our lives and not always preaching to them where they think that we're better than them. Maybe it's just humbling ourselves and coming to them humbly and letting them see that we're not trying to get something out of them or not trying to get them to conform to what we think or what we want them to do. Because sometimes they think that way. But genuinely show that love and that concern and that compassion for them. One day there will be an end to missions. One day. Let me read some other verses. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. I don't know about you, but I've heard on the radio and I've heard preachers say, the Lord cannot come back until every person on the face of the earth has had a chance to hear the gospel. How many of you ever heard that? I've heard it many times, and I want to say, hello. Wow. We do know we're not going to be here. This is taking place during the tribulation period. We know Psalm 19, that everyone can see the evidence of God just looking up into the sky. So in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Wow, what a privilege that we have to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. But one day, turn with me over to Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 34. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 34. One day this verse will come about. Jeremiah 31, verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. Oh, that new covenant, not living by the law, because the law condemns, but that new covenant one day when we will live with Him for all eternity. Hebrews 8, chapter 8, verse 11 says, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Wow, won't that be a glorious time? We won't have to go door knocking. We won't have to get thrown out of somebody's yard or a dog sicked on us and chasing us down the street and embarrassing us trying to get away from the dog. And so we'll never have to do that again, never have to give out another gospel tract. So there will be an end to missions one day, but we're not there yet. And we still have a great task. And I hope maybe there's someone that has not participated in Faith Promise missionary giving. Would you start? You that are giving, continue with that. And God might even speak to your heart about increasing. But if you're not participating, I want to encourage you to get involved with God, what God has already called us to do, and that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So please, please pray about that. The gospel, it is to go globally. It's to go to all nations, all kindreds, and all peoples of the world. And those people, the people groups of the world, there are anywhere from 11,000 to 13,000 different people groups in the world. Over 7,000 languages that are spoken. And in 13 years of Global Bible Translators, we've had the privilege of working with 13 different languages. Doesn't seem like much when we say 13, 7,000. Now, obviously, not all of those 7,000, English would be included in one of those 7,000. So there are a number of Bibles, whole Bibles or New Testaments that are in those 7,000. But in that 7,000, there are well over 2,000 that have nothing. And besides that, there are thousands of those Bibles, portions that have been translated that need a new translation because they weren't translated right. And then on top of that, there might be a good translation, but it's just not available. The people, they don't have any money. They can't buy it. In their country, it's not being printed. If we don't print it here or print it someplace else and send it to them, they don't have it. It's hard for us to comprehend that because there's, I don't know, how many Bibles you have in your home? 5? 10? 6 or 8? I don't know how many I got. Who knows how many I got? And yet, they have nothing. Let me share with you a couple things that has been taking place. We're always praying, Global Bible Translators, we're praying, God, use us. Here we are. We've presented ourselves. We're like Jeremiah. We say, here am I, Lord, send me. We're willing and ready. And we don't know where all of these people are around the world, but God knows that. Years ago, I put a little book together when I was the director of Bearing Precious Seed in Milford, Ohio, of all of the languages that we were printing. I put a map of the country or the countries that speak that language. I wrote something about that language, and then I put a portion of the scripture of that language. And I can't remember exactly how many. I think the book was 32 pages, and we made it in full color. It was a really beautiful little book, very informative, and we would pass that out as we go to the churches, and churches could see what Bearing Precious Seed was doing. And one of those books got into a hand of a British scientist. He lived in the New England area. And he wrote me a letter. He saw in that book the Swahili Bible that we were printing. And he wrote me a handwritten note, a whole page, and a very kind letter. He said, Brother Ziner, thank you in the ministry for all that you do, for getting the Bibles around the world, blah, blah, blah. But he said, you're probably not informed that the Swahili Bible that you are printing is a critical text translation. It's not a received text. I didn't know that. All of the missionaries that we were working with that was using the Bible in Kenya and surrounding countries all said, oh yeah, it's a received text. I was taking their word for it. So I immediately called him. I found out that he was going to Jerry Cleveland's church, a Midwestern Baptist graduate up in the New England area. I called Brother Cleveland. I explained the situation. I said, Brother Cleveland, I'd like to go. I hear that this guy's attending your church. Yes, come on up. So I went up and I met with Alan Lear. He's a British scientist who was in the British military in Africa, and he met a missionary's daughter in Kenya, and he married her. And then as he studied Swahili, he realized it was not a good translation, and he became a translator of the Swahili Bible. He's a received text man. So I had a great time with him. But he was doing all the translation longhand, not on a typewriter, not on a computer. And he would write it out, the translation. He would put it in an envelope, send it to Africa to get them to look over it, and then they would write back. You know, we got email. You know, it's there like that. And they would say, what are you talking about? He'd have to explain that again, put it in the envelope, send it back. And he'd been doing this for years. So I said, Brother Lear, we've got to get this digitized. And we got to find out who you're dealing with over there. We can send it to them through the internet and through the computer and blah, blah, blah. Well, lo and behold, we finished the John of Romans. We started printing that. Brother Lear passed away. A Baptist Bible Fellowship missionary called me and said, hey, I know you guys are involved with Brother Lear, with the Swahili. We want to take up the project. Well, they didn't. And it just kind of died. Years and years and years. Now, Bearing Precious Seed Global Bible Translator has been 13 years. This was over 13 years ago. So, this missionary to Kenya is in a church, and he's talking about the Swahili, Brother Mickey, who is a missionary. He said, you know, we need a new translation of the Swahili Bible. And a lady in that congregation, after the service, came to him and said, Brother Mickey, Brother Ziner's working on that translation. I'm not working on that translation. But she had read in our letter years ago that we were working on a Swahili translation. That lady, who is not a missionary, is just a layman, a member of a church, had been praying every single day for Brother Ziner and the Swahili translation of Africa. Not knowing, never receiving a report of the progress of it until that missionary showed up one day about a year ago. And she talked to him and said, you need to talk to Brother Ziner. And the missionary sends me an email and tells me this story. I said, Brother, and by the way, he's the missionary that Brother Lear was writing to his nationals, and they were writing back and forth. So I drove up the other day. I snuck out of town. I snuck out of my house. I told the pastor, My daughter has me on 360. You know what 360 is? Mom, I see Dad. He's going up 71. Where's he going? I forgot to turn that off. Well, he's going up someplace. Well, where? And she was paranoid. This was at the beginning of this. And I thought, oh boy, I got caught. I'm in trouble. So I went up to Cleveland and met Brother Mickey. And Brother Mickey tells me, he said, Brother Ziner, our nationals, I speak Swahili and I preach in Swahili, but it's not my mother tongue. The national pastors have come to me and said, Brother Mickey, we've got a problem with the Swahili Bible. It's not a good translation. There's all kinds of errors. What do we do about it? And Brother Mickey said, well, I know there was Brother Lear that was working on something, and then he heard about me, and he said, well, let me get a hold of Brother Ziner and see if he can help us. So I drove up there. He's having a conference in August in Kenya with over 200 pastors. He invited me to come, and to address this issue with those pastors to say, hey, we are here to help you. I met with his pastor up there in at the Cleveland Baptist Church and sat down and discussed. His pastor had a lot of questions about our ministry. What do we do? How do we do this? Because they have no idea. But we've been working on this for 13 years. And if you go to our website, you'll see our criteria, all of our development, how to train, and our training material, how to train the nationals, how to translate the Bible. We don't do the work for them, but we assist them. And then Kenya, Nairobi, Kenya, is a great hub for flying out of there into Madagascar. There's a new translation needed with the Madagasy. Anybody know where Madagascar is? It's the great big island east of Africa. Great big island. And they speak many different languages on that island. But the main language is Madagasy, and there's not a good translation in that language. So the same scenario, the nationals have looked at their translation. A lot of them that speak English, they'll use the King James. They compare it and they say, this is terrible. This does not match up. But they don't know what to do. Well, God has raised up our ministry to assist them, to teach them, to train them, and walk alongside with them until they can get this work done. And when it's done, then I raise the funds to get it printed, preferably in country, and they can disperse it to the people in their country. And then my ultimate goal is that they, as they've learned how to do this, will start training others that do not have a Bible in their language. So yes, we've only worked with 13 languages in 13 years, but now it's starting to multiply. And in Kenya, it's not just the Swahili. They have churches in two other countries outside of Kenya where there's bad translations and they need it. Brother Mickey is already raising, he already has the funds for a building that would be a translation center there in Africa. This is awesome. I mean, this is who we are, and we ask God, we don't know where all these people are, but he puts them in our path. And as long as we stay faithful to him, he can use us, and we can be a blessing to all of these different people. So please pray. August, I'll be going to Madagascar, going to Kenya. I'm hoping from Nairobi to fly over to Madagascar to meet with the nationals and the missionary, but these places right now are locked down because of the coronavirus. Madagascar is in really bad shape. Another country, a friend of mine that's said it's really serious, is Guatemala. Guatemala's having big problems. They have locked down the country now in Guatemala. So please pray for your missionaries. The other situation was in Paraguay. You know about that. Brother Manny Rodriguez was here last year. If you ever met him, you'll never forget him. Manny is something else. And he is a great man. Well, Manny is the head translator of the Guarani. He doesn't speak Guarani, but he's the head translator, which means he's the head organizer of the translation project. So he makes sure that everything gets done. Well, he went from Paraguay to Mexico to hold a mission conference. Well, while he was in Mexico, the coronavirus hit and Paraguay locked down. He couldn't get back. He and his daughter were traveling, and so his wife and the other kids were in Paraguay. Well, okay, the news said it's only going to be a couple weeks, right? And everything will be back to normal. Then it was 2 weeks, and then 2 weeks, and then 2 weeks, and then a month, And Manny says, I'm not leaving my family down there. So they went to the American Embassy in Paraguay and were able to get a flight, a humanitarian flight for Americans out of Paraguay back to the U.S. The problem was each one of those tickets were $1,700 a piece. But God supplied. And the church has responded. And so he's back in the States now with his family. And but he's not sure. The church there that he started, a new church, they're not allowed to have service, not allowed to go out on the street. But since Manny was here, Satan does not like God's word. He hates God's word. I mean, we know that from the very beginning in Genesis when he said to Eve, "Yea, hath God said." He not only doubts God's word and believes his own lies, he wants everybody else to do that. So as we started that translation work in Paraguay, boy, oh boy, Satan was not happy with that. And there became a great division. I think they had like 30 or almost 40 students in the seminary. And one man there became very jealous. And generally, there's a couple things people become jealous over. One is the obvious, is money. They become jealous over money. And then they become jealous over power. So my last trip to Paraguay, I said, "Brother Manny, I see some things here. You know, that's the advantage of me having been a missionary in the past. There's some things that you might not be able to see, but I could see it immediately that there's an issue here. And especially speaking Spanish, I could read between the lines." And I said, "Manny, who's in charge here?" Well, he said, yeah, that's a problem. I said, "Manny, I could tell it." I said, "This national pastor is wanting to take control, but he's not ready to do it yet." Well, he decided he was going to take control whether he was ready or not. And it split the work. Manny didn't split it. He walked away, as he should do, and started a new work. That's fine. That's what he was there for anyway. But it hurt the Bible Institute and it hurt the translation program. Now, I tell you that because not everything always runs smoothly on the mission field. There are problems there. Just like you have problems here, we have to face problems there. We have to face personalities. We have to face jealousies and issues and disagreements. And it didn't matter if you took the scripture. Brother Manny is one of his friends, Brother Humberto Gomez, who is the translator of the Gomez Bible in Spanish. He and another man, another pastor, flew there to try to resolve this issue. And they were not able to resolve the issue with this other fellow. He decided he's going to do what he wanted to do. And he did that. But do we quit then? Because we have this big division and this problem. So everything is stopped. The translation stopped. Well, they didn't. They continued on with it. And they're continuing on with it. They continued on with their Bible Institute. But God allowed me to go there to say, "Manny, listen, when you start this Bible Institute, it's not part of this guy, it's yours. You are the head of this. You're the one that's training these men how to be pastors and starting churches all over the countryside and all over the city of Paraguay." And so sometimes you have to just take a couple steps back to get some things straightened out. And so God is blessing there, and they are pressing forward. Please pray for Brother Manny and his family. Brother Manny is he's like Doc. He's got a real positive attitude. And through this, you know, it's not like, "Oh, I don't care." It's not that attitude. I don't mean that. But he said, "You know, God placed us here. And God's going to see us through this trial." And he's got a great family. Then the Awe translation in Togo, they finished the John of Romans. I think you're aware of that through our newsletter and that. They came together, and my concern was, are they going to continue on with the New Testament? And, you know, it's one thing finishing a John and Roman, which took a lot of work on their part. And now the New Testament? And they came together and decided, yes, we're going to do the New Testament. And they've divided up the books, and so they've started working on that. The other We're working on several others, and I'm going to mention one more, but I can't mention the name of it because I don't know where this is going. So I have to be real careful because this is a closed country, and I'm not going to mention where this is taking place. The missionary came home to do some recruiting and had a heart attack, the head translator. Again, he's like Manny. He's not the head physically translating, but organizing the team and all of that. And so then his wife had to come home to take care of him. And then the coronavirus hit. So he's been home for several months, away from his home, away from the workers there. And I'm supposed to go to this place in November with his pastor. So we don't know how all of this is going to transpire with all that's taking place around the world. Some countries are having more difficulty than others because these countries, if these people don't work, they don't eat. There's no subsidies. There's no welfare department. There's no food stamps. There's nothing. So if they don't work, and so when the government says it's shut down, well then, well, how do they work? They work anyway. And you know what happens? The police, which are corrupt, see them out, they stop them, and then they get their cut. I mean, you just have to understand that. That's third world. That happens. Everybody's going to get their cut somehow. So it's paying off this one and this one. And so there's a lot of issues and a lot of things that happens with our missionaries that are around the world. And so fervently pray for them that God will intervene and help them through these times. Tribulation time has always been tribulations, trials, testings. But the missionary doesn't quit just because there's a testing. You don't quit just because there's a testing. Can you imagine in your marriage if you quit every time there was a testing? Well, you'd have quit 1,000 times. Well, some of you are better than me. I'd have quit probably 2,000. I wouldn't quit. Connie would have quit 3,000 times having to put up with me. That's a challenge. But we don't do that. We are steadfast. We go forward. And we work through that because God is on our side and we're doing what He wants us to do. Amen? Now let me just take a few minutes. I have just a few minutes left. I don't know. Maybe you have a question. Maybe it relates to translation. Maybe it relates to what we're doing. Maybe it relates wanting to know about another missionary, how they're dealing with this situation around the world and how they, I'd be happy to answer that if I could for you. Anyone have a question? None. Nobody. So it's all clear, crystal clear, everything. Good. Okay, yeah.
It's like I don't even know what
to ask.
It's
more of a personal question. What's the toughest part of what you do?
The toughest? Selfishly, I want to say the toughest part is the 14-hour plane trip. I hate that part of it. I think at the beginning was trying to find the people. I knew the world needed the Bible, but how am I going to find them? And so we just had to pray. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't search and look and investigate. But I think that might be the hardest because I know they're out there. And I pray it, and you can pray for us. God, put these together. Put Brother Ziner and these people that have needs together somehow, some way, just like the Ethiopian eunuch in Philip. The Holy Spirit led him in that direction. I think that that would be the hardest. Raising money has not been hard to do for, you know, people are very sympathetic about Bibles. And if I've got a project and a Bible's ready to be printed, that's probably the easiest part of my ministry is raising money, because everybody wants to give so that somebody can have a Bible. Yes. Well, the Bible says tribulation worketh patience. So we can't say, you know, we answer it with Scripture. What does God say about that? God says, be anxious for nothing. So in all of this, we learn how to live day by day. We see God's hand. But we haven't seen the rest of the story here. You know, the gospel has gone around the world through the internet. I mean, look on your Facebook. I look on mine because I have a lot of preachers that I'm friends with. Man, it's just loaded with sermons and services. And people around the world can see that. And something that you might not know, Arabic Bible Outreach, that'd be a good man to have one day. Michael Hodge, great guy. And he's Lebanese. And he started a ministry called Arabic Bible Outreach. I love that guy. I'm behind him 100%. He has hundreds of thousands of Muslims that gets on his website every month to read the great material that he has. It's called the Arabic Bible Outreach. You could look it up and you can see it. And so we know that people are watching this around the world. And what a great tool. So we haven't seen the result. And we may never until we get to heaven. God said, look at all this that took place. I came with my mask and gloves this morning expecting, well, probably the church, everybody will have a mask and glove on. I was the only one. I took it off real fast. Any other quick question? All right. Pastor, come, would you please?